Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I was raised in church. We went every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every other time the doors were open. Many times we opened the doors. I learned to pray and worship and give and serve by following my parents. That's the way it used to be. Religious beliefs were handed down from generation to generation. If your mom and dad were Methodists, then you would be a Methodist for life. If your grandparents were Lutheran, then your parents were Lutheran and you were Lutheran. If your background was Pentecostal, you would always be Pentecostal. If your family was Assemblies of God, you were Assemblies of God. That was just understood. Your Catholic family would be Catholic for generations. You weren't Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or Assemblies of God because you chose to be. You just never considered anything else. And that's not true anymore. Now, in ever-increasing amounts, people try out different religions in their search for God. They explore their spirituality, maybe like never before, and they do much of that exploring online. Be cautious when you seek spiritual answers on the internet. Just because someone sounds smart doesn't mean they are smart, and just because it sounds like the truth doesn't mean it is the truth. I got a news flash for you. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. I know you're stunned. You've been waiting for your free trip to Disney and your $1 million from Bill Gates, but be cautious. If you don't know, ask. We'll tell you it's fake. And one of the challenges with all these different religious systems being taught is the tendency to put too much emphasis on yourself. Every religious system other than Christianity teaches you must attain a certain level of good works or accomplishments in order to gain heaven or paradise. It's about you. If you accomplish enough good, no one knows exactly how much that is, but enough, you'll reach heaven. If you don't do enough, you won't be allowed to go. What you do determines whether you go. It's all up to you. It's not intentional, but we take cues from those other religious systems, and then you apply it to your religious belief, and it becomes about you. What have you done? What have you said? How much faith do you have? If you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. If you haven't received a financial miracle, it's because you haven't given enough or done enough to qualify. Even good-hearted people say things like, well, if you have this sickness, it must be your fault. You need to examine your life. You must be doing something wrong. Or you wouldn't need to have a knee replacement if you just had enough faith. I remember a lady in our church told one of our seniors that. And she was devastated to think that she was responsible for her problems. 6 months later, that lady had her own knee replacement surgery. See, when it's you, you don't have enough faith. When it's me, it's an attack of the devil. Well, just say you're healed and you'll be healed. Or you'll say, well, I have a headache. Don't admit it. Don't claim it, brother. If you claim it, you'll be sick. Like God up in heaven is just saying, oh, you said the word. I mean, is that really true? Can you confess your way into a healing or out of a healing? We've been taught to think it's a formula. If you go to the right healer, if you say the right prayer, if you give the right offering, if you go to the right church, if you have the right amount of faith, if you can figure out the formula, God will heal you. I even read a book that taught the right way to pray for any and every physical problem. It had like an index of if a person has this problem, where to place your hands, and what words to say in the prayer. And according to the author, whose name you'd recognize if I called it, I won't. If you don't pray the right way, it doesn't work. And I just picture God in heaven saying, oh, if you'd just been 4 inches to the right, I would have healed him. So close. I want to tackle a difficult theological question, hopefully in an easy to understand way. When it comes to healing or a miracle, How much is up to you? How much is up to God? We're going to look at two stories in the New Testament. Two men, each in a desperate situation, whose only hope was a miracle from Jesus. And by studying their stories and Jesus' reactions, you'll discover some important things about miracles, and I hope relieve some pressure. Mark chapter 10 tells the story of Bartimaeus, a blind man who's desperate to see. John chapter 5, we find the story of an invalid who couldn't move and was desperate to walk. Now, because you'd have to flip back and forth in your Bible, I'm going to help you out by putting the scripture on the screen, or you can just try to keep up with me flipping back and forth. Both these men had a need. One was blind, the other couldn't walk. It's important we take a moment to understand the culture in Bible times. Their handicap was viewed as a result of their sin. People believed the invalid couldn't walk and Bartimaeus couldn't see because God was punishing them. Because they were handicapped, they were seen as subhuman, as a worthless drain on society. People avoided and ignored the handicapped. It was a deep-seated, ugly prejudice. Both men had a need. Both men also had a plan. Bartimaeus' plan was simple. He stood by the road, and when Jesus came by, he would shout out and ask for healing. The invalid's plan was a little more complex. He staked out a small pond, the Pool of Bethesda, a crowded gathering place where people with illnesses came. And they believed that an angel came and stirred the water, and the first one who got in the water would be healed. And so when the water began to move in a mysterious way, there was a race to the pool. And the invalid's plan was to jump in the pool at the first ripple. Now, there's just one small flaw in his plan. He couldn't walk. So it really wasn't much of a plan. Mark 10 is Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Bartimaeus couldn't get a job, but he had some initiative. Every day, he got up early so he could get a good spot on the side of the road, and he spent the whole day holding out his cup, begging, hoping someone would have pity, give him a few coins. Wasn't much, but at least he was doing something. The invalid, on the other hand, doing absolutely nothing. He's lying on the mat by the pool day after day, couldn't get up and run, couldn't jump in the water. He was the picture of a guy wallowing in self-pity. I can't walk, I can't run, I'll just lay here till I die. Bartimaeus was doing everything he could. The invalid was doing nothing. So which one are you like? Are you doing everything you know to do? Are you like the invalid, feeling sorry for yourself, hoping to get a lucky break? Have you heard the verse, God helps those who help themselves? Isn't that a great verse? The only problem with that verse is it's not in the Bible. And it's only partly true. God does help those who help themselves. God also helps people who can't help themselves. When Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus always drew a crowd. It was a chance for a beggar to make serious money. But Bartimaeus was completely focused on Jesus. He kept yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't worry about the crowd trying to quiet him. He pushed through all the obstacles and kept his focus on Jesus. The invalid did the opposite. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned he had been in this condition a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now the invalid, to give you kind of current context, if you, I hope everybody read or watched Winnie the Pooh when you were growing up. That's a deeply book, and Jim said, my books are out there. They're right on that same level. There was a character named Eeyore. Everybody remember Eeyore? The donkey's like, I just don't know what's going to happen today. Pastor Jim isn't speaking. Should have stayed home. The invalid is the Eeyore of the Bible. Sir, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water's stirred. Every time I try to get there, somebody goes in front of me. He didn't even recognize Jesus. He just continued the pity party. All his excuses why he couldn't get better. Someone's always faster. No one's there to throw him in the water. The invalid's world was confined to a tiny mat on the stone surrounding the pool. Bartimaeus was Jesus-focused. The invalid was excuse-focused. So which are you like? Are you focused on Jesus? Or are you focused on your problems and excuses, all the reasons why you're not happy? Jesus heard Bartimaeus yelling. He stopped and said, "Call him." And so they said to the blind man, "Cheer up," which we have no indication he wasn't already cheered. We're not sure why this is in Scripture. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for him?" Jesus asked. And he boldly said, "Rabbi, I want to see." But he was full of hope. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for a better begging spot or a new job. Instead, he went for the whole deal. "I want to see." When Jesus asked the invalid, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir, no one to help me get in the water. Somebody always gets ahead of me." He didn't say, "I want to walk," because he'd given up. For almost four decades, he'd seen through the eyes of hopelessness, waiting for a healing that didn't come. He no longer believed healing was possible. He was an excuse-making, no-chance-taking, hopeless case. What a big difference. Bartimaeus was hopeful. The invalid was hopeless. So what about you? Are you hopeful? Or have you given up? Jesus called Bartimaeus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. He followed the sound of Jesus' voice, and he pressed through the crowd. The invalid, on the other hand, couldn't come to Jesus. He wasn't physically able. So in all his mercy, Jesus went to the invalid. Isn't that an awesome thought? He couldn't approach Jesus, so Jesus approached him. What a difference. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. Jesus came to the invalid. And in spite of all their differences, both men had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus stopped for both of them. He stopped for Bartimaeus, who is filled with hope, and he stopped for the invalid, who had absolutely none. Bartimaeus shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Somehow Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He addressed Jesus as Son of David, a term that meant Messiah. Jesus had taught around that area, and on one of those occasions, Bartimaeus must have been on the edge of the crowd and heard life-giving words. And apparently, at some point, Bartimaeus made the decision that Jesus was more than a man. He was the Son of God. Bartimaeus was a faith-filled believer. The invalid wasn't a believer, follower, even casual observer. Jesus was the most famous teacher of the day. He attracted attention. He inspired controversy everywhere he went. But this guy sitting by the pool had never even heard of him. He just called him, "Sir." Imagine all those sick people sitting around the pool, waiting for healing, not knowing that the healer himself had just walked in. The invalid couldn't have been a believer, or he would have known who Jesus was. So if he's not a believer, there's no way he'd be healed, right? If he didn't believe in Jesus, he couldn't do his part. How could he have faith? Bartimaeus is a believer. The invalid didn't even ask who Jesus was. Back to Bartimaeus, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I want to see." No hesitation, no doubt. When Jesus came to him, Bartimaeus knew what he wanted, healing. The invalid didn't even know what he needed. When Jesus asked him, "What do you want?" No one to help me get in the water. The invalid didn't ask to be healed. He was just looking for someone committed enough to chunk him in the water, which, by the way, wouldn't have gone well. Right? The invalid was looking for natural answers when the supernatural answer was standing right in front of him. And comparing their stories, you root for Bartimaeus. He deserves healing. The invalid were kind of apathetic towards, but both had an encounter with Jesus. Surprisingly, both received a miracle. Now, for some of you, everything you've believed about healing and miracles is about to be challenged. I want you to look what happened next. Mark chapter 10, "Go," said Jesus, this is Jesus to Bartimaeus, "your faith has healed you." Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith. So that must be the key. That must be the secret. If you want to be healed, you have to have great faith. It is up to you. God does help those who help themselves. But now the invalid, Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now, wait a second. If the key is faith, why in the world was this guy healed? He didn't have any faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Nothing he did brought about his healing. When Jesus offered a healing, he said, I just need somebody to throw me in the water. I'm surprised he didn't say to Jesus, forget it, I'm just going to stay here on my mat. Bartimaeus was a believer before being healed. His faith was the key to his healing. The invalid was not a believer until after his healing. In fact, sometime way after, his faith came as a result of the miracle. And that'll mess with your theology. If you always believe healing was the result of faith, how do you explain that? And there is only one possible explanation, the love of God. God in his love and mercy chose to reveal himself to the invalid by healing his sickness. Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith in Jesus. The invalid had faith in Jesus because he was healed. I think of people struggling with depression. It's rare you find someone that's fighting depression at the same time filled with faith. Well, thank God, it's not about you, what you say, what you pray, what you do. He's God, you're not. Now, let me caution you with a balance point. You could listen to all this and you could leave and say, Rod doesn't believe in faith. He doesn't think faith makes a difference. If you say that, you are twisting my words and you are misrepresenting the truth. I am faith-filled. I believe in an all-powerful God who can do far beyond all we can ask or even imagine. And Scripture's clear, faith is necessary for the follower of Jesus. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. At the same time, I'm thankful that when my faith is weak, God is still able to heal. His miraculous power is not limited by my faith. And what happens next is amazing. Bartimaeus did what you'd expect. He left the beggar tools behind. He followed Jesus. The man who restored his sight was worthy to be followed. But look what happened with the invalid. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. So Jesus said to the man who'd been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. He replied, this is crazy. The man who said to me, who made me well, said, pick up your mat and walk. And they said, who is this fellow that told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Now, I can't imagine that. Put yourself in the invalid's place. You're crippled. You can't walk. You've lost all hope. You never have a chance to walk again. Then one day, a man walks up and heals you. Would you lose track of him? Wouldn't you at least ask his name? You'd grab onto Jesus with everything you had, determined to follow him forever, not this guy. And what should happen next, the next verse should read, when the invalid didn't acknowledge Jesus, God made him crippled again. Just be right, wouldn't it? But instead, the unbelievable love of Jesus, he went to find the guy again. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, you horrible ingrate. He said, see, you're well. Stop sinning. Something worse can happen. The man went away and told the Jews, Jesus made him well. Both Bartimaeus and the invalid had the opportunity to become followers of Jesus. Bartimaeus chose to follow. We don't really know what decision the invalid made. But it appears he also became a follower because now he went to the enemies of Jesus and said, Jesus healed me. He didn't have to go back. He didn't have to testify. But he became a witness to the power of Jesus. These guys were very, very different. But both men had a Savior. So who does God help? Two categories of people. God helps those who help themselves, like Bartimaeus. God also helps those who can't help themselves, like the invalid. See, it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about the words you say, the faith you feel, or the things you do. That's all wonderful and good, but it is not about you. It's not about finding a formula. It's finding Jesus who loves you beyond all love. Here's the lessons. The lesson from Bartimaeus, run to Jesus. People may try to discourage you. It may not seem like there's hope. Run to Jesus. When hope is gone, when doctors don't have an answer, when you don't know where to turn, Run to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from coming to him. I was speaking at a church in Tennessee, and I just stopped and said, you know, I really sense that there's somebody in this room that you're struggling with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and you're not able to have a child, and the doctors say you'll never be able to, and I want to pray for you. It was in their last service. There's just a handful of people there. I'm questioning God. I'm saying, God, you got to be missing this, because look around. And I was checking out the crowd. I'm thinking, there's not many childbearing age in this service. So unless this is Abraham and Sarah, you've missed it, God. And after service, a girl walked up to me in the lobby and said, I don't even know why I came here today. She said, I went to another church this morning. And when I was driving home, something told me just to pull in here and come to church again. People don't do that. They don't come once, let alone twice. And then she just started crying, and she said, I have PCOS. And they said, I'll never have a baby. How did you know? Run to Jesus. The lesson from the invalid: he didn't deserve to be healed. He didn't have any faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus helped a helpless man. When everyone around you fails, when friends or family aren't around to give what you need, when your cries for help seem to bounce off the ceiling, that's when God's mercy steps in. Mercy is God's response to misery. You may feel abandoned and like hope is gone. Tried everything you can think of and nothing has worked. You are a perfect candidate for the mercy of God. When you're helpless and hopeless, God reaches out in mercy, and his mercy is available to you. I don't understand how God does what he does. Earlier this year, we just had this, again, I don't understand. All of a sudden, all kinds of people with shoulder problems started being healed. I wasn't praying for shoulders. I didn't have shoulder faith. I didn't read that book and know that you place your hand here and say this. It just started happening. And then one week, a lady came and she sent an email. She said, I was watching online. And worship started, and I just raised my hand in worship. And all of a sudden, she said, I realized, wait, I can't do that. She said, I didn't even know it. God healed my shoulder. And I replied to her, God won't heal people who aren't physically in church. You're not allowed to be healed online. I don't understand how God does what he does. I don't get that. I can't explain that. Anyone who says they can't explain it is lying to you, attempting to impress you by being an expert. I don't know. I was in seventh grade, and I was diagnosed with an ulcer. And in those days, it's been a few years. They didn't think it was infection or anything. Problem is what you ate. And so the doctor said, no spicy foods, no Cokes. You got to drink milk. I hate milk, still do. Hate it even more because of that time in my life. And so I was like, spicy foods and milk. Well, no milk, no spicy foods, no Coke, you might as well just pronounce me dead. Seventh grade, it's over. All the kids would go out after church to Happy Joe's for pizza. They'd all have pizza. I would sit there with a glass of milk and a sandwich, feeling like a pathetic loser. Apologies to those of you who have milk and sandwiches every day. You're not pathetic losers. You're wonderful. But I don't want to eat with you. One Sunday night came to church, and we had a guest speaker. And at the end of his time of speaking, he called people forward for prayer if they wanted to be healed. And so, man, you can't imagine how much I wanted to be healed. So I went forward, and he had people stand across the front, and they were just standing across the front from side to side. And I was way on this end, and right behind me was the grand piano. And he started all the way at the other end. And I thought, that's just my luck. I'll need healing for my legs by the time he gets to me. First person he prayed for them and they fell over. I just looking, that's not something I've seen before, and that's not something I particularly want to do. I am not interested. I don't know what just happened. I'm looking. I'm in seventh grade. I'm looking, thinking, he just prayed for somebody and they died right here in church. That's not good. But he kept praying for people and they kept dying and they're just falling down. And let me tell you, at this point, I was no longer thinking about being healed. I was thinking about how do I get back to my seat without anybody seeing me? And I just keep watching and freaking out. And finally, he is about four or five people down from me. And he prays for them and they fall. And right then, everything changed. And it was me against the evangelist. I watched these people. I thought, okay, he's pushing on their head. And they don't have good balance, and he's pushing hard. They got him. They've been standing here for half an hour. I'm ready to fall over too, so I'm be ready. So I got my feet about shoulder width apart, bent my knees, and leaned forward. I wasn't giving him a CD, a courtesy drop. I was standing there is what I was doing. I was ready. He got the person next to me, prayed for them, they fell over. And now it's me against him. And I thought, if he touches me, I'm going to deck him. I was ready. And that wise preacher got to me, and I'm just ready. I'm not going down for anything. And then also, the other reason I'm not going down, there's a grand piano behind me. See, I've watched all these other people fall, and they've got nice soft carpet. I got a piano. I'm going to trade an ulcer for a concussion. And he got to me, and he kind of took a step back, and I thought, yeah, you saw these guns. You knew. That wasn't funny, by the way. Yeah, thanks. And just very quietly, kept his arms folded, hands at his side. And he said, Lord, would you touch and heal this young man? I don't know exactly what happened next. I can tell you 30 minutes later, I woke up looking at the bottom of the piano. And that night I went to Happy Joe's and I ate pizza and drank Coke, and not a problem, healed by the power of God. And you could listen to that and say, so that's it. You got to fall over to be healed. No, I have never fallen over before or since. You can receive a miracle if you've got a lot of faith or if you've got none. If you're hopeful or hopeless, if you're convinced or you're a doubter, today can be your day. Listen to me. It's not up to you. It's not a formula. It's God's power and God's mercy at work. You say, well, I don't believe God heals. Try him. We'll pray for you. Try him. If you don't have faith for your healing, I do. And we're going to pray and believe together. If you are faith-filled like Bartimaeus, we're going to pray for your healing. And if you're hopeless and miserable like the invalid, we're also going to pray. And we're going to believe that God's going to touch you. Because he's God. Would you bow your heads with me?